Oh, yes, it is. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. We just praise you, Father, for the victory against our enemies. We thank you, Father, for bringing them all down and knocking down all the walls that have been, they have tried to put up against us and between us. And Lord, we praise you. We glorify you for all that's going to happen tonight. Glory be to God. We thank you, Father, that we are full of praises for you, Lord, because you are the greatest thing that has ever happened in our lives. And we praise you, Father. We are the branch and you are the vine. Everything that flows through you flows through us, Father. We praise you. We glorify you. Thank you, Lord God, for all that you've done. And Lord, we thank you that tonight it's going to be an awesome, awesome time with you, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us into the things that you'd have us to speak and to talk about, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Whew, glory to God. Okay, first things first, I'm going to pray, play a praise team because tonight we're going to praise the Lord for the victory. And I want to play this song. Is that okay for everybody? All right, praise God. It's a Paul Wilbur song. It's one of my favorites. Since I've got to, yeah, I'll go ahead and do this. Let's see. I don't do that. Share screen is loading. Okay.
From the rising of the sun, the going down of the same. The name of the Lord is to be praised. Let's praise Adonai.
Sing praise.
glory of the Lord has come. His Spirit filling everyone. We were born for such a time as this. For the Lamb of God is in our midst. The sound of thunder approaching. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is preparing to roar like never before. Can you hear it? When we worship, the Lion of Judah roars.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. That's a good song. I love that album. That's one of my favorites, if not the favorite. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I wanted to tell you. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. I want to tell you that I believe that we need to praise the Lord more for the things that he's done in our life. The biggest thing that he's done in our life, sharing with Julian and Missy earlier, the biggest thing that he's done in our life is to give us eternal life with him. That's what he's given us. He's given us his son, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for doing that in all of us. And he's given us the power to do the work that he wants us to do. He's also given us the wisdom. Everything that we need is right there in front of us. And all we have to do is reach and grab it. And it's ours. We are not just readers of the word. We're doers of the word, Lord of God. When you're a doer of the word, people's lives get changed. Glory to God. But I believe that we lack, and I believe the Lord has confirmed that with David and I, we lack praising and thanking him enough. So, Father, I just praise you and I glorify you right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for my brothers and sisters here in this outreach right now, for the things that you have done for all of us. I praise you for my healings. I praise you for the life that you have given me. I praise you for your Holy Spirit that resides inside of me and teaches me and leads me and guides us and gives us the power to overcome the things that the devil has thrown at us. And I praise you, Father, for the victory for this whole outreach right now in Jesus' mighty name. You're an awesome God. You love us and you want to do things for us. And sometimes we forget to praise you and to thank you, Lord, for the things that you've done for us. I thank you for bringing down the deep state that's against us here in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, that your angels are going out forth right now in everybody's lives here to bring down the enemy's walls that they have brought up against us in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that there is no lack in this body because we have you. You own everything. You made everything. And if you made everything, there's nothing that you won't do for us because you told us to ask, to seek, and to knock, and we should have it. And glory to God, I believe it. You said you'd supply every need that we needed. And you told us you'd heal us. You told us all of these wonderful things in there. You told us that we could raise the dead, we could heal the sick, and we could set free the people that were bound up in the enemy's camp. And I praise you, Father, for that. And Lord, I thank you that you're placing it in us right now to go and do the thing that you've already told us to do in your word. And I thank you, Father, that we will not neglect to praise you and to thank you for the things that you've done for us. And I thank you, Father, for provisions in this outreach and in the local and everywhere else that is needed to get this gospel out in Jesus' mighty name. And I thank you, Father, that it is done. And I bring down I speak a decree right now that the enemy's camp has been scattered in the name of Jesus. We command those lying spirits to go out there and scatter our enemies right now in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, there's nothing that we need that you won't do for us, Lord, because your love, you gave your son for us. Your son went to the cross for us. He didn't have to come down here and do that, but he did because he loved us. Even before we were saved, he loved us. And Father, it is so awesome to believe that we're in this realm, this kingdom that you have provided for us, Lord. And I thank you for it. And I praise you, Father, for your presence here tonight with your people in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Has anybody else got a prayer they'd like to pray and praise God? Glory, hallelujah. Praise you, Father.
I pray. praise you and I thank you, Father.
Amen.
For all the darkness cannot hide.
Nope.
That you are greater than the darkness. Darkness will not overcome the light, Lord. And there's much darkness in this world. And we know, Lord, that you are exposing it. You are bringing it to light. And the Satanist cannot hide. The Satanist in every avenue of society across this world are going to be exposed. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you, Lord. Be exposed for the sake of your elect, Lord, that they repent of how much they've been in the world and didn't even realize it, Lord. We praise you and we thank you, Lord. The Satanists in the church, Lord, and the leaders in the church that have been Satanists, wolves in sheep's clothing to the mat, the false prophets. We thank you and we praise you. We send forth your light in the mighty name of Jesus to bring down the apostate system. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, that you are bringing out your elect from among them. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, that they, we see them out. We see them out, Lord. We see them running. We see them running. I had a dream, I think it was like 2011, of people just running out of a school. And that was just an apostate church. It was symbolic of apostate church, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
We praise you and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We praise your mighty name, Lord, for setting the captives free, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Setting them free from the sins and the deception and the darkness they've been in, Lord, and bringing them to the truth. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Therefore, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. We praise your mighty name. Praise your mighty name. We praise your mighty name.
Yes, Lord. Glory,
heal the heart, Lord.
Glory,
there have been many that have been in the name of Christianity who have been abused, sex trafficked.
Yes,
Lord. We praise you and we thank you for bringing them, rescuing them, bringing them out of the captivity, Lord. And Lord, all those, Lord, that left, Lord, because of what they experienced, Lord, and no longer believe in you. Oh, Lord, ask you for your mercy and grace. Your name has been so detained, Lord. We ask you for your mercy and grace upon those who have left of your elect, Lord. Bring them back. Show them, Lord, that they misrepresented you, Lord. That they are not true believers, Lord, that you are who you say you are in your word. Bring them back, draw them back. Show them your love, Father. Show them your love, Father. We praise your mighty name, Lord. We praise your mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for flooding their hearts with the light of your truth, Lord, and healing them, spirit, soul, and body, mind, will, and emotions, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise your mighty name. There's nothing too hard for you. There's nothing too hard for you.
Praise you,
Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your mighty name. Praise your mighty name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. 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 Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Praise you, Lord.
Lord, we thank you that you're in us and there's no force outside of us that can overpower us, because you're greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. And I praise you, Father, for your complete victory over everything that has come against us. In Jesus' mighty name, I cast down the deep state faction. And the faction against the church too, against your true church, in Jesus' name. I cast down every slanderous word that has been spoken against us. And I thank you, Father, for purging every record that has anything that has slander in it against you being right now, in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, that your angels are sitting out there right now doing that, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. And I praise you for your strength and each and every one of us, Lord, your supernatural energy to want to do the praises and the thanks, Lord, and to get in your word and to stay in your word and to understand who we are in you, Lord. The greatest power in the universe is sitting right here inside of every one of us. And we praise you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Not only that, we have your humble nature too, Lord, that we're not anything without you. And we praise you, Father. And there's nothing in us except you that's worthy to thank. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise be to God forevermore. All right. Anybody else want to praise God? Yeah, Rhea.
Lord, we do praise your name, Father, but repent, Lord. And please forgive us, Father, for not giving you praise and glory and honor in everything. We have been such spoiled brats because we pray and cast our demons with the word. We lay hands on the sick, they are healed. We believe your word, you provide for us, you do all these things, Father. You give your angels charge over us, and then we don't give you all the glory and honor for it. We take it as being a normal, and it is the normal Christian life, Lord, but it's you do those things in spite of us. You do those things through us only because of your Son, and not because of us, Lord, and not because of all the flesh is dead yet, Lord. No, you do it in spite of it, Father. Please forgive us, Lord, for not giving you all the honor and praise, because all of it belongs to you.
Yes.
Forgive us, Father, for not seeing your hand behind everything. Because if we did see your hand behind everything, we would give you praise and honor in everything. Help us, Father, to have joy and have that praise in us, Father. Because unto you belong the honor and the power and the glory and the strength. All of it belongs to you, Father. Forgive us, Lord, for putting these crowns on our heads and keeping them there. No, we throw them, Lord, in front of you. We bow down in front of you, Father, and we throw our crowns there, Father, because it's all you, Lord. It's got nothing to do with us, Father. We praise your name. All the praise is yours.
Yes,
Lord. All the praise belongs to you, Father. You have been so good to us, and you have been so kind to us. We love you, Lord. And we give our lives to you, Father. Help us to become less and let Christ become more in us, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this fellowship, Lord. Help us together to help each other praise your name in all things and through all things. Thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord. Josie says in the chat, Father God, we thank you that your amazing, unfathomable love has been poured out for us at the cross and poured into us by the Holy Spirit. And we want to taste and experience more of the depth and breadth and length and height of your amazing love. And yes, Lord, not only that, we want to give it out, dude. And thank you, Father, for giving it all to us. You shed abroad your love in us with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, let it be like a lamp from us out to the world. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, go ahead, Marilyn.
Father, I just thank you and praise you. It's just such a blessing to be here among the brethren. We think about it all day on the days that we get to come together. And Father, you've opened avenues for us through the signal to have more personal communication with our brothers and sisters. And Father, I just want to thank you and praise you. Father, your word says that you set the solitary in families. And Father, you've done that even here. You bring us together when in the natural we're just so far apart. So, Father, I just want to thank you and praise you. Father, I want to thank you and praise you for the work that you are so faithfully, wisely, graciously doing in us and with us and for us and through us. Father, that help us to always be praising you. You inhabit the praises of your people. And Father, your word says that I have refined thee not as silver. I've chosen you in the furnace of affliction. Well, praise God, Father, when we are in the furnace of affliction, that we are still praising you and thanking you, Father, for it's during those times. I was reflecting upon that earlier today, that it's been in some of the hardest times in my life, hardest trials, that I've cried out to you from the depths of my heart, and you've been right there. And just the healing, cleansing, sanctifying, perfecting, fruit-bearing work that you're doing in us during those times. So, Father, that we just thank you, Father. Your wisdom's beyond our understanding. Your ways are beyond our finding out. Father, I thank you and praise you, Father, for the grace. The grace, the mercy, the love, the forgiveness, your great faithfulness. And Father, what we have so freely been given, that that we would be able, what we have so freely received, that we would be able to freely give to others, that Father, wow, Father, that the love of God truly is shed abroad in our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Father, I just want to thank you and praise you. You're never too busy for us. We never have to make an appointment or take a number. And I was thinking today, Father, as I was praying, when Bartimaeus was crying out to Jesus on the road to Jericho, Jesus stopped his whole day, his whole entourage, when people were telling this man to be quiet. He stopped and he ministered to the needs of him. Father, you are so, and that is our Jesus, such a good and gracious King, so full of compassion and willing to stop in the midst of where the Spirit was leading him. The Spirit also told him to stop and minister. And Father, that we want to be that way, that we're not, when we receive interruptions in our day, that to receive it and to minister as you give us opportunities. Father, I just thank you. You're so good to us. Truly, I love that song. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. And Father, I just pray that that is in all of our hearts. I thank you, Lord, for this outpouring of the Spirit right now, moving our hearts, searching our hearts out. And Lord, that you are just doing your work in both to will and to do your good pleasure in each of us, and you're faithful to complete that work unto the day of Christ Jesus in each and every one of us. Father, we just can't thank you enough. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise you, Father. You're so, so good, like Marilyn just said. And all I just was thinking about how much you suffered for us and what you bore for us so that we could be your children. You gave up Jesus so we could have life and life forever, and that we could have your abundant life. And some of us, I mean, I'm still trying to figure out all what that means, Lord, to have your abundant life. But I just believe, Lord, it's what we're coming into now and in the days ahead, Lord, the abundance of your life, that we will ask and we will receive. And that's what we have now by faith. But I believe we're going to see a lot of our faith in sight, Lord. And I just thank you and praise you, Lord. And I ask, along with all my brothers and sisters, Father, and they're seeking your forgiveness. You're always forgiving and long-suffering and merciful and gracious. And Lord, forgive us when we become self-absorbed or fall into some kind of any kind of self-pity or focused on ourselves and distracted. Lord, that we would still, throughout everything that we go through, that we would offer up to you in the midst of everything, a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving and worship, and that we would do this continually unto our God. Because you're worthy, Lord. You are worthy for what you've given and what you've sacrificed for us. You sacrifice more than any of us will ever even come close to. And we willingly, Lord, want to give up our lives for you. And I thank you, Lord, for giving us that gift, wanting to follow you and to continue to follow you and give up our lives unto death. And if you're the one that's doing that in us, you only want a willing vessel to obey you and lay down our lives for one another and lay down our lives and put others first and to come into your nature. And we're not even able to do that of ourselves. It's all your gift. Thank you, Lord. We praise you for all of the gifts, all of the gifts. And it's all summed up in Jesus and his love for us. I pray, Father, that this praise and worship and exalting you is not just right now, but this is only a shadow, just a beginning, a small beginning of what you're going to do in each and every one of us, Lord. We can't muster it up ourselves. Lord, you see everything. You see our hearts and you see the battles we're in sometimes, God. So I thank you, Lord, for helping us to stay focused on the things that are above, where we're seated with you in heavenly places, and you brought us there. You delivered us out of the powers of darkness, and you translated us into your kingdom of love. Help us to see ourselves as you see us, Lord, that we see Christ in the mirror. You're so good. You're so awesome. You're so wonderful and gracious and long-suffering, slow to anger, merciful, forgiving. Lord, you are even merciful to the wicked. You're even merciful to the wicked. You give to all of us, Lord, our every need. We don't deserve you, Lord. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us and what you are doing for us and all the promises, God, that we not take for granted anything that you've given to us. That we praise you and thank you every day for giving us life, for waking us up every morning and giving us sleep at night and providing everything that we need out of your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places are ours in Christ Jesus, all abiding in you. And you're the one that put us there. You called us, you chose us, because you love us and you predestined us. And we want to spread that abroad, Lord. We want to be used as your vessels, Lord, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the true gospel, the true Jesus, the one true God. We want to bring him to everyone we know, Lord. Help us, Lord, to praise you, which is just brag on what you've done and who you are to everybody. Give us those opportunities, Lord, and let people hear. And even if they don't, we're still going to boast on who our God is, because you're great and you're worthy. And the righteous will not be put to shame. We trust you. When we speak your name and confess you, we will not be put to shame. Thank you, Lord, for all the persecutions. I thank you, Father, for all the trials. And it's all just bring us into your glory. We don't always appreciate everything all the time, Lord, and we don't. Maybe we take it for granted or some things. Sometimes, Lord, forgive us for that. But I know you're doing a great and mighty work in all of us and bringing us into your image. We just praise you, Father, for who you are and what you've sacrificed and what you gave to us so we can have life and have that forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the
Lord. Yeah, the year flows. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. For those of you who came in a little bit late, We're praising the Lord for everything that he's done in our lives, and also for protecting us and for bringing down the enemy that's come against us. The Lord has told us that we need to praise him more and thank him more. And when he does that, when we do that, more things will happen. Bigger things will happen. Greater things will happen. He cherishes our praises to him and our thanks to him. And it should be something that's continual every day. So I'm going to open it up. Does anybody else want to praise God? Yeah, Vanita. Thank you, Julie.
Yeah. Just wanted to thank the Lord so much for renewing our minds. Lord, thank you for the gift that you've given us. We've all come together here because you've taken us on a journey through all these different apostate churches that we've come out of. And Lord, you've brought us all together by renewing our mind, giving us eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord. Just thank you so much for that. It's just so exciting to see beyond what's written in the letter and to be able to understand it. It's just unbelievable what's in there. It's just so deep, Lord. You're just so amazing and just never get to the end of it. We just keep digging and digging, and it's just so much fun. It's like digging for gold. Thank you, Lord, for that pot of gold that you put in there that we can just love on you and learn on you and just lean on you. Praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, my name. Glory. Hallelujah. And I must see to anybody else. Yeah, I'm ready.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Thank you for everything that we are going through, because, Father, we know that your hand is still on it. We give you praise and glory, Father, in heaven, because you have called us. And sometimes, Lord, we don't understand the calling. But just like Job said, I have heard of you, but now I have seen you, Father. I thank you that you continue to reveal to us, to clear our eyes, Lord, that we can truly see you in every situation, to see you in ourselves, to see ourselves in you, Father, in heaven. We ask forgiveness, Lord, for the times we've been impatient or when we've tried to tell you what we want to happen. And I thank you, Father, in heaven, for every breaking. I thank you, Lord, for every pound of flesh that is taken away. And I give you praise and glory because it's restored with the Holy Spirit. It's restored by you, that Christ may increase and we may decrease. And so, Lord, I thank you that we are living sacrifices. And I offer to you the pain, the suffering, everything, every emotion, every doubt, every thought, everything that we are, everything that you have given to us, everything, Father in heaven, that's under our influence or around us in any way, Lord, I offer that to you in Jesus' name. And I give you praise and glory, Father in heaven, because it is you who's in charge, because you're a loving God and a loving Father. And so we worship you and we lift your name up on high. And I pray, Father, that our voices are heard along with all the voices that raise up in song and in worship and in praise in heaven and on earth, and that it is joined along as we sing, Holy Lord God Almighty, hallelujah to the highest. Praise be upon the mighty King, the Savior of the world. Praise be upon you, Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be upon you, Heavenly Father. We bless you. We worship you. And we thank you, Lord God. We receive in faith, Father in heaven, everything that your will has proclaimed for us, because you see the end at the beginning. And we receive, Father in heaven, in faith, the goodness, the mercy, the loving kindness, and every good thing that you have in store for your children. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, thank you, Renna and Renna. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Ooh, my. I feel the Lord loving on us. Thank you, Father. All right, anybody else? How about a prayer request? Has anybody got a prayer request? I got one. I want y'all to believe with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for placing it in everybody's heart who hears us tonight to go about every day thanking you and praising you for the things that you've done. If it doesn't seem like it's doing anything, you're there with him. And that's enough. And we praise you, Father, for doing that in each and every one of us. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Does everybody believe that? Yeah. Even that's right. Even if you don't do it, if you're believing something, thank him for it because it's coming. It's already here. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that everybody here is believing for something has already got it in Jesus' name because your word says, and your word's not a liar. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Every prayer spoken and believed has already been given in Jesus' name, answered in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. You're an awesome God, Father, to do that for us. Glory, hallelujah. And some of us have been waiting a long time, but we're not waiting in vain because we know when it happened. Glory, it's already happened. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Claire.
Hi, Michael.
Hello.
And everyone. I have a praise report. It's such a cool one.
All right.
So our passports from the country that we come from South Africa, were all kind of expiring within like a year of one another. So the Lord sort of prompted us to get this done all at the same time, all five, all done. And our home country is not known for being particularly efficient. On the website to get this stuff done, well, firstly, it takes a whole day of your life because they need, you know, a DNA sample practically of who you are before you can get this stuff done. But anyway, we did all of that on the 13th of January. And then the website said it'll be between 4 and 6 months wait. And we've known people who've waited like 9 months to get their passport back, or 12 months. And this is normal in South Africa. Even if you live in South Africa, you would wait that long to get these things. And we just spent that whole day in prayer when we were up doing all the administrative tasks in order to send the parcel of information to the consulate. And we prayed and we sent the angels, and I'd worked it out in my mind, like in a practical way. Well, even if we only get it in 6 months' time, it still leaves time for the next things to happen. And I was, you know, just in my rational sort of carnal mind thinking, well, we've done what the Lord needed us to do.
We all stood in the post office together, yeah, and we prayed and we said, we're sending this with Angel Express, yes, right? These are just going to go. There's going to be no mistakes on the forms. Everything is just going to be absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yesterday, these things arrived back. That is like unheard of. 7 weeks. I mean, it's supposed to be between 4 and 6 months. And it was 7 weeks. And yeah, we got it back and it's all correct. And it's just wonderful. So we're so grateful to the Lord. And I know a lot of our brothers and sisters are going through trials with, you know, passports or relocations and housing and all kinds of things. And we just know that the Lord is going to give us exactly what we need when we need it. And he will give it to us in abundance, and he'll give it to us much better than we could think. So thank you, Father, for your provision.
Praise his name.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You're an on-time God. Matter of fact, you can do it sometime before we even think you can do it. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Them angels are so cool. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I'd like to give a praise report concerning Merle. There's little things that I've noticed here lately, that just some changes going on with him. And I think since Tuesday, a week ago, it's been, for years he's had issues with sleeping issues, and sometimes it's worse than others, but since Tuesday a week ago, you know, he may come to bed a little late, but then he sleeps really, you know, a good while and you know, doesn't wake up or whatever. And it's very unusual for him to, when he comes to bed, to be able to go to sleep right away, you know. you know, and but anyway, so I just wanted to give a praise report on that. The Lord's working, and the Lord's showing him little things here and there. He's brought up a couple different things to me. And like one, he said that somebody brought someone that they knew to their assembly meeting or whatever, and this person wanted to be baptized, and they said they want to be baptized on Sunday. And Merle's like, he was telling me about this, and he was like saying, well, are they even saved? What do we know about them, you know? So he was like questioning, you know. And so I know that's probably something that's going to be a topic of tonight, because he went to Bible study, whatever. And then one of the men in leadership has chickens in the city, and they're supposed to have so much ground or whatever, so much for the chickens to be able to have them, I guess, per how many they have or whatever. And Merle was telling me that that he doesn't have a big enough yard, but he shares his eggs with the neighbors so that they won't rat on him, you know? And I told Merle, I said, we're supposed to obey the laws. And, you know, he kind of laughed when he first told me about it, but then I said, we're supposed to obey the laws. So I know the Lord is just exposing some, you know, and I know he sees other things, but it's just like, he's like sharing things with me or whatever. And so the Lord's working there. He's working on bringing him out. You know, I'm seeing it, you know. But anyway, it's just encouraging the work I can see that the Lord's doing in Merle. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, that he has left. I just, lots of times I just imagine him walking out the door and saying, I'm never coming back, you know. I just use my imagination saying, you know, or him just finally speaking up and saying, I can't do this anymore. I don't believe what you're teaching. You're not teaching right. He knows, but I thank you, Lord, for tearing down all the bondages, Lord, that's keeping him there. And I thank you and I praise you, Lord, that they are all gone and he's free, along with all your other people, Lord, that are caught up in apostate Christianity. And thank you, Lord, for bringing them all out in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I believe he's coming. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Anybody got another praise report or anything like that? Any comments, anything you'd like to talk about? I just want to talk about Jesus. How about y'all? He's such an awesome God. I'm learning more and more every day how awesome he is. All right, I guess we'll have to get in the book. In the book. Let me get my... I think we're on page 250, aren't we? Oh, I'm just kidding. Yeah, chapter 4. Chapter 4. Yes, he does. God's sovereignty over evil. You ready, Andrew? Okay, I'll wait on you. This is
Claire has her hand up.
Yeah, Rhian, Claire. Oh, I couldn't see it. The light, right in the middle of the light up there on the ceiling. Go ahead. Yeah.
Sorry, it's like a ghost hand. I have one more thing I want to share, if that's okay.
Sure.
It's just yes, so ma'am. Cool how the Lord is working. There's these, well, I'm just going to come out and say, there's this one lady in the town. She's a Jehovah's Witness, and she knocks on our door all the time, and it's a little bit awkward. She didn't come during COVID because she was very scared, but now that's all gone, and so she's come back. And I'm quite nice and friendly to her, but Rian's made me aware again that I do not need to be as accommodating to this woman as what I am, which is fine, and I will obey. And then we went to another older female recently who is, she's kind of reached out more to spend time with my kids, and I just feel like there's something weird there, and I don't know what it is, and I do pray to the Lord that he would send me older women that I could like learn things from, that you would typically, you know, your kids would learn from a granny or something, because I think there's some gaps in my education. But anyway, there was just something like I wasn't particularly at peace with this, and I haven't done anything about it except seek the Lord. And today Tabitha at the breakfast table says to me, "Mommy, I had a dream last night that we were being, me and Daniel and Mika were being chased down by this evil woman who wanted to kill us with a fish hook, like with a fishing pole. And when I look back at her, she was a mixture between these two women in the town that I've just described to you." And then I said to the Lord, "Well, is that an answer for me?" And I said, "Is that an answer?" And I opened up the Bible and I got a verse, and it confirmed it, because the word that my hand landed on was malevolent, right? Which means sinners, which means convicts or criminals. And I share this because sometimes we think we have to go beyond what we should. Sometimes we think we need to, every person we meet is somebody that needs to now be evangelized. But if we will only take time, and this is something I learned, so I'm just sharing my own personal revelation about this specific thing in my life. The Lord showed me that he will use anything to teach me, including my children and their dreams, and I need to obey that instead of the feeling. And that was really a blessing for me, because I don't have any condemnation now or doubt that I need to reach out further, you know, to either, not that I wouldn't reach out to the Jehovah's Witness, but the other lady who was a bit of a question mark. I mean, I don't know anything about her, but I don't judge her at all. I just take this as a warning, like, don't do this, because spiritually we don't know what's coming after us and our fruit spiritually, as well as our kids. So I'm just grateful that the Lord used that today to put that to rest. And it's very, very encouraging to be led of the Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your confirming word. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Yeah, Missy.
Well, that made me think of something that the Lord showed me. Now, this may not be, this was like, the Lord caught my attention on this, and I never really thought about it before. You know, the where is it? I think it's in John. I just recently read about the man that had that was lame for 38 years, and he was sitting at the pool of Siloam or whatever, the Lord asked him, said to him, spoke to him, but it never, there was a multitude of people there that were sick and lame and all these other things. He picked out one person, which goes to what Claire was saying. We don't need to feel like we have to evangelize everybody, but be led by the Spirit as to who, you know, it's just being led of the Lord. And that never caught my attention before, but he was the only one. So I just felt to share that.
Okay. Anybody else? Hang on. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 4, God's Sovereignty Over Evil. Isaiah 45 and 7 says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I am the Lord that doeth all these things. And David said, what good reason could God possibly have in creating darkness and evil? Well, be patient and believe the scriptures ahead to receive a wonderful understanding of this. But first, let us examine how God exercises his will over evil and to what extent. Isaiah 10 and 5. Ho, Assyria, the red of mine anger, rod of mine anger, the staff in whose hand is mine indignation. In this verse, God calls the enemy of Israel his rod and staff to correct them. In Psalms 23, the good shepherd uses his rod and staff to comfort David. The rod and staff were tools of the shepherd. The Lord, our shepherd, uses our enemies as tools to correct us and keep us in line. Isaiah 10, verse 6, I will send him against a profane nation, Israel, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil and to take the prey and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Howbeit he meaneth not so, neither doth his heart think so. But it is in his heart to destroy and to cut off nations, not a few. Notice that the Assyrians did not know that they were sent by God to fulfill his plan. It was in their heart to take a spoil and a prey. Whenever God uses vessels of dishonor, they are just fulfilling their lusts. God worked in the Assyrians to will and to do of his good pleasure. We will see that God does this with all of his vessels of dishonor. He has purpose for the wicked in the earth. Otherwise, he would have removed them long ago. After God fulfills that purpose, he'll do away with them. That reminds me, I have something I need to pray about. Well, Father God, I just lift up the leaders of Russia and America. And I thank you, Father, for what you've done in the past with them, Putin and Trump. But Lord, I come against any attempts of the enemy to create faction between them. As a matter of fact, I bind that faction right now in the name of Jesus. You will not come between them in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, there will not be any parting of ways between either one of them in Jesus' name, that they will follow this thing out like they had started in Jesus' name. They're getting rid of the deep state. And we praise you for doing that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Mina Lee Graben had a prophecy out about this, about a separation between Putin. He wanted to separate from Trump and go his own way, but because he had a little bit of greed in his heart and wanted some more land. In other words, he was going to go do something. I don't know what it was. It doesn't make any difference. We just cast it down in Jesus' name. Where did I stop? Notice that the Assyrians did not know they were sent by God to fulfill his plan. It was in their heart to take a spoil and a prey. Did I read that? Okay. Whenever God uses vessels of dishonor, they are just fulfilling their lust. God worked in the Assyrians to will and do of his good pleasure. We will see that God does this with all of his vessels of dishonor. He has purpose for the wicked in the earth. Otherwise, he would have removed them long ago. After God fulfills that purpose, he'll do away with them. Amen. All right, who wants to read? Okay, Julie. Thank you.
I love this chapter, by the way. It always helps me to get things in perspective. Isaiah 10:12. Wherefore, it shall come to pass that when the Lord hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks. For he has said, by the strength of my hand, I have done it. Notice that the king of Assyria thought that he had done this by his own strength. As history and this verse prove, when God is finished using the wicked for his people, he will destroy them. From the beginning, God did not intend to immediately do away with the wicked, but to use them to perfect his people. He commanded the angels to let the tares grow together with the wheat until the end, Matthew 13:30. And only then will he separate and destroy the wicked, Matthew 13:41 through 42. He explained that if you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat with them, Matthew 13:29. If God took away the tares, the wheat would die for lack of chastening and good object lessons. Isaiah 10:13. For he hath said, by the strength of my hand, I have done it, and by my wisdom. The Assyrians believed that this victory was by their wisdom and strength, but God claimed to be using them as a tool. Isaiah 10:15. Shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Shall the saw magnify itself against him that wieldeth it, as if a rod should wield them that lift it up, or as if a staff should lift up him that is not wood? That is the way God sees this army, like a dumb tool. God wielded the axe, the saw, the rod, the staff, and lifted it up to work on his creation. How ludicrous for men to take any credit. God is sovereign. And everything else is a tool to be used by him in the chastening and perfecting of his saints. We should know that God sends these tools to us to carve us into vessels for his use, and that we need to submit for our own sake. These tools will be necessary until the saints are the finished creation of God. Then God will put them away. Meanwhile, we need not fear that the purpose of evil is prospering. Isaiah 54:16 and 17. I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. How comforting it is to know that only God's purpose is prospering. Even Satan is not put in his place until the end, when the tempting and crucifying of the saints is over. Revelation 20:1. And I saw an angel coming down out of the heaven, having the key of the abyss, a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and cast him into the abyss, and shut it, and sealed it over him, that he should deceive the nations no more, until the 1,000 years should be finished. After this, he must be loosed for a little time. One angel had no trouble chaining Satan and casting him into the pit. That was so easy that God could have done it a long time ago if he wanted to. According to the theory of most, God would have had to send an army of angels to get that heavyweight. After all, has he not been resisting God for over 6,000 years? Wrong. Notice that after 1,000 years, God loses him again. Does that give you any idea about who loosed him the first time in the Garden of Eden? Does God loose Satan to do his will or to thwart his will? Revelation 20:7. And when the 1,000 years are finished, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall come forth to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to the war, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up over the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a great white throne. God loosed the devil to deceive all the evil nations to make war on the saints. He did this so that he could rain down fire on the nations to destroy them just in time with a great white judgment of the wicked. God did not even need the angels to destroy the devil and all of his children. He could have done this in the garden and saved us the trial, but it was not his plan.
Amen. Lucas, hang on just a second, if you would, please. Did not Jesus, when he was crucified on the cross and died, did he not go down to hell and take away everything that the devil had? Took away his shield. He took away all of his power. He did all of that stuff from him. And then brought back up here and gave it to us. He said, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Praise God again. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, Julie. I just wanted to bring that out.
Amen. Yes, Lord, praise you, God, for giving us your name, the authority to use it over our enemies. Praise the Lord. Who cast the devil and his angels down to the earth to deceive the nations and to make war on the saints during the tribulation period? Revelation 12:7. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon, and the dragon warred with his angels. I'm sorry, and the dragon warred in his angels, and they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. Then the devil and the beast made war with the saints, Revelation 13:7. And it was given unto him, the beast, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And there was given to him authority over every tribe, people, tongue, and nation. If God was going to cast the devil and his angels down, why not cast them into the lake of fire? Instead, God restrained them to the earth where we are. God needed the hordes of evil to separate the tares from the wheat and to mature the saints. Notice there was given unto him, the beast, both authority over the nations and authority to make war on the saints. You see, friends, God gave authority to the devil who dwelt in the beast and gave authority to the beast to try the saints and to crucify their flesh. Isaiah 10:20. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and they that are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again lean upon him that smote them, but shall lean upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel in truth. One of our problems is that we lean on the flesh and the world. We trust in America to defend and make us socially secure. The world has our love, respect, honor, and fear, all which belongs to only God. God has a remedy for that. God brought the illicit lovers of Israel against her so that she would learn who her true enemies, who the true enemies of her soul were. In this case, the Lord is showing us the same thing. One of his remedies for us loving the things, people, and thinking of the world is that he is going to bring all that against us. Matthew 24:9. Ye shall be hated of all the nations for my name's sake. It is necessary that we be hated of all nations so that God's name is manifest in us. It is necessary that the world hate us to turn our heart away from the love of the world. God's people were too comfortable in Egypt, so he turned the Egyptians' heart to hate his people. Psalm 105:25. Then he saved them from the hand of him that hated them. Psalm 106:10. First, God turned their heart against Israel. Then God delivered Israel out of their hand, and they were so grateful.
Okay, let's stop there. Just a minute. Has anybody got any comment or any questions?
I was just thinking, it's like kind of what I just read there is kind of what's happening right now.
Yep.
The whole world is going to hate us, and it already is hating us in a lot of ways. It's turning against the righteous and those who stand for what is just and true. And I was also thinking about, the Lord gave the devil authority here on earth, you know, and to use things against us and that kind of thing to chasten us, all those things. But I was just thinking, the other day was just Purim. And it's like God turned that edict around. He also gave us authority over the devil. And you know, just kind of fresh in my mind. We have authority over the devil. We have to know that. Yep. We have to overcome. And there's steps we have to do to have that. We have to know who our war is against, not flesh and blood. You know.
Amen. That's just like David asked me the other day. Up here in this shower up here, every now and then that devil, right after we had the pump fixed, the Lord fixed our pump and the line there, that devil would, I'd be soaked up in my head, all over my head, and he'd shut the water down. I'd get so mad, I said, you lying devil, you get out of here right now, in Jesus' name, back it come. It was just the devil. And then the other day he asked me, he said, has that shower or that water in there been turning off on you? I said, no, the devil's done got too much of a whooping from me, I guess, because he's tired of getting stomped. I literally get mad at him. I said, you blind devil. Cause I'd have it all over my face, you know, and couldn't get no water.
He waits till then, Michael.
Yeah. I know. Every time. And I'd just get mad and I'd start kicking and hoping I wouldn't fall, you know. But he quit it. Praise God.
Amen. He ain't come back either. He quit messing with his water.
Now my angel would wear him out. Okay, who's next? Who wants to read? Yeah, go ahead, Ryan. It's Ryan. Ryan.
Ryan, it'll be my, I have to put my American accent on him.
Okay.
No.
No. Ryan says no. Nope.
All right. Well, Lord, please help everyone understand my accent. Thank you. Okay, 2 Samuel 7:14. I will be his father and he shall be my son. And if he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. God's purpose in creating sons is going to be fulfilled by using vessels of dishonor to chasten his sons for their sins. The rod is physical men, armies, and nations. God uses spiritual principalities and powers to motivate these vessels of dishonor. If I were to pick up a stick and hit my neighbor with it, you would accuse me of evil. On the other hand, if I take the same stick and go chasing my child because of willful disobedience, you should think that good. Proverbs 23:13-14. What is the difference? The same stick was used, but the purpose was opposite. To attribute evil to God for using evil shows a lack of understanding of his purpose or motive. God is going to use evil to do good. God is good, and all things that God does are good. We cannot limit God with self-righteous thinking. God is going to do a good work with evil. In fact, without evil, God cannot do his work. 1 Timothy 1:20. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered unto Satan, that they might be taught not to blaspheme. The word blaspheme here means to speak evil against. These men were speaking evil against either someone or the truth. And Paul, for God, turned them over to Satan so that they might be taught not to blaspheme. Satan teaches us much. In most cases, it is Satan and his demons that execute the curse on those that sin. The curse was spoken and ordained by God in Deuteronomy 28 to motivate sinners to repent. Satan tempts us with lusts, but when we give in, he legally may administer the curse until we repent. When we get out from under the blood, Satan is waiting. It is not in Satan's mind to teach us anything or to chasten us. That is God's purpose. Satan is full of lust and hates mankind and wants to do evil against mankind. Satan does not wish to teach us, mature us, or bring us to an understanding of God, but he still brings that to pass. Jesus said, if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. Mark 3:24. Satan's kingdom is divided against itself because what he does to the people of God causes them to repent and mature. It's not just Satan, but everything around us that God is going to use to bring us to maturity. Satan, the leader over the vessels of dishonor, is very important to this process. Satan is in command over the wicked spirits and thus wicked people. God is in command over Satan. The scripture says, all things work together for good. According to this, what Satan does to us is for our good. Does Satan understand what he is doing? No, he does not understand. According to the law of sowing and reaping, he has sown deceit, therefore he is deceived. He is out to take man's position of authority by tempting him to sin. Satan is also a created being. God did not create any being that was going to be able to thwart his will. He created everything for the purpose of bringing his chosen into the image of Jesus Christ. There are several methods that God uses to move the wicked, Satan and the demons. One is by the power of suggestion. He works in them to will and to do of his good pleasure. He also commands or gives permission to them. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 5, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Paul is taking authority over the power of the enemy and using that power to chasten rebellious children of God. Luke 10:19. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. Jesus delegated authority over the power of the enemy spirits to disciples. Disciples have a right by the Spirit of God to use their power to forbid their power. Matthew 18:18. Verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind, is forbid, on earth shall be bound, forbidden, in heaven. And what things soever you shall loose, permit on earth, shall be loosed, permitted in heaven. Disciples have authority to forbid or permit. With the guidance of God's Spirit, mature disciples can permit the devil's power for a good purpose, that the Spirit may be saved. Notice the condition that Paul, by the Spirit, laid upon Satan for the destruction of the flesh. In this way, God exercises his sovereignty through his disciples. When Jesus sent out his disciples to make disciples, he commanded them to pass on the same authority and commands that he had given them. Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. If we are disciples, the Greek mathetes, learners and followers of Christ, we have the same commands. Jesus said that he would be with them to do this, even unto the end of the world. Obviously, the original disciples did not live that long. Therefore, he is speaking to all disciples. In our assembly, there was a woman who regularly offended the saints. I loved the sister, and I had only her best interests at heart. After much correction, I asked the Lord what to do about her. He instructed me to turn her over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. I wanted to be careful to not judge on my own, so I asked God to confirm this direction with a sign, and which he did. In my study, I vocally spoke this judgment, turning her over to Satan. I found out that she almost immediately got sick so that she could not get out of her bed. She told me later that when she was lying in her own waste and vomit, she cried out to the Lord for answers. He told her that she had offended his people and that she must confess her sin before them and ask forgiveness. She decided to obey. God temporarily delivered her from this affliction so that she could obey. At the next meeting, she asked the assembly's forgiveness, which she received. When she went home, the affliction came right back upon her. She cried out to the Lord again, asking why it had come back since she had obeyed. She got an answer and called me on the phone. She related to me what happened and then said, David, the Lord said that I have been turned over to the devil. I told her, it is true. I did this at God's direction. But you have repented, and I see no reason not to release you. You are free in Jesus' name. The Lord healed her, and because of this instance, gave her a new respect for ministerial authority. Modern day ministry goes from one extreme to the other. Either God's ministers are totally powerless in the face of rebellion, or they exercise carnal dominion, like the Pharisees. Just as a father and mother have authority in a family to chasten their children physically, the leadership in the church has authority because of the love of Jesus over his children. This authority is not for the purpose of personal animosity, anger, or vengeance. It is because we do not want to see God's people come to the end of their lives, having never repented of their sins and fall off into the pit. God's purpose has to be continually working in a person's life to bring them to maturity and to get them ready to face him. Paul turned this man over to Satan in obedience to the Spirit, out of love. Some worry about the possibility of abuse here, but the curse that is causeless alighteth not. Proverbs 26:2.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, going back to when you first started talking about the devil, he never learns. And that's it. You know, we talk about the stupid demon that's in the faction. He's got the same mindset that the devil does, thinking he can do something and keep doing it and get a change. Never works because God's in charge. He's just so stupid. All right. Anybody else want to read a while? Okay, Missy. I'm glad you raised your hand.
I glanced away and now I'm not sure. Did we finish off the curse that has caused us Elias now? Is that where we stop?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
Good guess.
Okay. Anyway, 1 Corinthians 5:5, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. This man had his father's wife, probably what we would call a stepmother. Paul spoke to the elders in Corinth and determined to agree with them to turn this man over to Satan. Do you think that Satan is thinking about destroying people's fleshly nature to save their spirit? The flesh is Satan's ally and manifestation of his nature. Romans 8:7. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. No, it is God's plan for Satan to administer chastening. It is Satan's lust to do what he is permitted, to destroy man. Satan has been given power over the flesh. Do you remember the serpent in the garden? He was cursed to crawl on his belly and eat the dust of the earth. What is the dust of the earth? It is what our flesh was made of. Satan has been given authority to come against flesh. I am speaking not only of this body, but also of the carnal desires and appetites that gratify self. Satan's job is to devour the old man, and he is very good at it. The benefit is the saving of the spiritual man. God commonly turns us over to Satan for chastening when we walk in willful disobedience. In Matthew 18, we have a case of unforgiveness. Matthew 18:34, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, demons, till he should pay all that was due. So shall also my heavenly Father do unto you, if you forgive not every one his brother from your hearts. This is a common thing. When we see ourselves delivered over to the curse, we should examine our conscience to see if there is cause to repent. I say if, because sometimes Satan is permitted to come against us to build our faith and to prove our authority over him. God uses a very bad devil to do a very good work in more ways than one. 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment unto the day of judgment, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of defilement and despise dominion. God takes credit for keeping the rebellious under judgment. Some live under judgment all their life because they walk after the flesh. If we do not understand the sovereignty of God, many times we are going to go through a lot more judgment. We need to recognize God's purpose in everything. He is using Satan, one of his demons, or the wicked people around us to chasten and bring us to repentance or to build our faith through trials. Many only see the vessel. They do not see God behind the vessel, whose purpose is being fulfilled. They only see it as a work of Satan and not the work of God. Satan would have us believe that the reason he comes against us is because we are good children of God. However, God would have us believe that when Satan comes against us, it is because he loves us and chastens our corrupt nature and acts, or to give our faith a spiritual workout. If you only see Satan coming against you and not God, then you do not have any motivation to change. But if you see God sending Satan against you, then you are motivated to change. John 3:27. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven.
Amen. Let me say something right here. Remember that book, Prison to Praise? He praised him when he was down, when the devil was kicking him in the teeth. He praised him at all times. And he always got out of those circumstances. And I believe that's what God's telling us now, you know. Praise me through everything, through every circumstance. Glory to God. Okay, go ahead. Did you want to read some more, Missy?
Yeah, I can if you want me to.
Claire and Leon have their hand up again, Michael.
Oh, I have something.
Michael, it's interesting we read this now, because I just listened to a teaching from David, an old one. It was really bad quality. Everybody should listen to it. It's really so good.
This is called, recorded. You know that, don't you?
No, I didn't say it was bad quality from David, just the sound audio. Oh,
Lord, thanks for the clarification, I'm sure. Go ahead, Rhea. I'm sorry.
Does David listen to these? I'm just checking.
No.
It was called Noah's Nakedness and the Curse. And it's very interesting. It speaks a little bit about that part of Noah's nakedness that was uncovered. It's actually about 10 minutes, I think. But then he goes on to talk about the curse. And it was about this. And something that really stood out for me is, and I think something that I've been probably guilty of doing in the past, is, and we often use that verse that says, the curse that is causeless alighteth not. But if you have pride and self-righteousness, Then I always tend to use that verse to say, no, well, no curse can come on me because, you know, I'm fine. I'm perfect. Therefore, that curse cannot alight. But David, in that teaching, he says it the other way. He says we have to look at ourselves, that when a curse is on us, that it has a cause, because it cannot alight unless there's a cause. And I thought, well, that's, you know, that kind of swinging a little bit the other way. And he mentioned it now in this chapter now, where he says, but he does send it to test your faith as well. But we cannot be prideful and arrogant and say, oh, that's the only time. So if a curse does come on us, we have to look at ourselves and see God's hand behind it and go, is there something that I need to repent of? And most of the time, yes, there is something. He says, but then when you've repented, because that curse had a cause, but now that you've repented, now it is causeless and it cannot alight. So it works both ways then. Now the enemy wants to try and bring condemnation on you. You go, right, it had a cause, but I have repented, and therefore I'm washed clean. And now condemnation cannot come, and now that curse must go. And I think if we get good at that, we can shorten the time that we go through some of these trials tremendously if we are quick to repent. And it's something we try and teach our children. We have to be quick to repent, but quick to repent means we have to be quick to find out the root cause. What is the heart of why this is happening to us? But not be, oh, woe is me. Why is this happening to me? Here I am through a curse again. And then go, oh, but the curse is causeless, a light is not, therefore it cannot be. But you continue to suffer because you don't actually deal with the heart of the issue. You don't repent of it. He just put it in such a wonderful way. It was a real awesome revelation to not go every time I'm being chased and, oh, I'm so bad. Or no, it's God's hands behind it. Let's find out. Let's repent. And then it's causeless and it cannot alight. But first, it does have a cause, and then it's not causeless. And I thought, oh, that was so cool for me to see that. I think us as believers for each other, we always see people love. We always say, according to the scripture, it says love believes all things. So if someone else comes and says they've got this curse on them, then I can't say, well, I can't judge them and say, well, it's because you're jealous or you're this or that sin. No, I say, you're a child of God. That curse is causeless. The counter light. I will agree with your faith in that sense, but you have to make sure that you are right with God. And then you have boldness towards him when once it's done that. And I thought it was such a wonderful revelation.
Amen. Very good point. Yeah, very good point. Okay, Missy.
Hebrews 2:2. Every transgression and disobedience receives a just recompense of reward. All you have to do is look at the recompense, and you can tell when something is a transgression. Some people have asked me if I thought it was wrong to do this or that. Look at the recompense and you'll see if it is wrong. It is wrong to recreationally indulge in hard. Is it wrong to recreationally indulge in hard liquor? Look at the recompense, deterioration of the body and spirit. It is wrong. Is it wrong to smoke? Is it wrong to smoke? Look at the recompense, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, cancer, and other physical complications. People who are bitter, angry, and unforgiving are delivered over to cancer, arthritis, and other immune deficiencies. Many with cancer or arthritis have kept up anger and bitterness in their lives. Anxiety and worry gives way to ulcers. Do you have to ask if it is sin? Look at what it does to people. Even if you do not know a verse that tells you it is a sin, look at the fruit of it. Look at what comes against you because of it. God has ordained the entire curse system to come against those who transgress. Whether God is using the devil, his demons, wicked people around you, sickness, or any other part of the curse, he is doing it to bring us to repentance and fruit. God will use evil spirits to humble us and bring about good fruit in us. Paul is a good example. He was caught up to the third heaven and received wonderful revelations that tempted him to be proud. 2 Corinthians 12:7. And by reason of the exceeding greatness of the revelations, that I should not be exalted over much, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger, Greek angelos, angel, of Satan to buffet me, that I should not be exalted over much. Paul says the thorn was an angel of Satan to buffet him. The word buffet means to hit over and over. Can you see that this evil spirit was given to Paul to fulfill God's purpose of humbling him? 2 Corinthians 12:8. Concerning this, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he hath said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. This angel Satan was bringing about a humbling in Paul's life that God called grace. When Paul was in a position of personal weakness or inability to save himself, he got to see God's power to save. It should be the same with us. The scriptures are full of instances where God purposely brought people such as Moses, Abraham, Jehoshaphat, Gideon, and Lazarus to a position of human weakness so that he could perform a miracle to save them. And no one would get the credit but him. Amen. Paul understood this. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Wherefore I take pleasure in weakness. KJV, infirmities. Injuries, insults, in necessities, in persecutions, and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. thorn in the flesh is mentioned four other times in the scriptures, and not once is it an infirmity. This word, weakness, is from the Greek anesthesia. Yeah, that meaning want of strength. The King James Version translated this word infirmities, but the same Greek word in many other places, including this text, is translated weak or weakness. 1 Corinthians 1:25, 2 Corinthians 11:29, 2 Corinthians 12:9 to 10, 2 Corinthians 13:4. The same Greek word. How do you say that again?
Athenaia.
Athenaia. Okay. In the following verse, in the following two verses, shows us the infirmity is a bad translation. The weakness of God is stronger than men. Now, we know that God is not infirm or sick, so this word has to be weakness. 2 Corinthians 13:4. For he was crucified through weakness, yet he lived through the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him through the power of God toward you. We know that Jesus Christ was not crucified through infirmity, but weakness. He would not defend himself when he was brought before Pilate and the Jewish leaders. Likewise, we are crucified when we are weak to save ourselves while we trust in God. Earlier in the text, Paul lists what he calls weaknesses. He lists things such as shipwrecks, prisons, persecutions from enemies, and stripes. Not once does Paul mention sickness in the list. The point is that God uses evil angels to come against our lusts, to humble us, to chasten us, and to cause us to repent. 2 Corinthians 12:8. Concerning this thing, I besought the Lord thrice that it, the angel of Satan or demon, might depart from me. And he has said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. God was saying that he would deliver Paul from the individual buffetings, but not from the angel of Satan. Paul said as much to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:11, persecutions, sufferings, what things befell me at Antioch, in Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. 2 Timothy 4:18. The Lord will deliver me from every evil work. In this we see the sovereignty of God in both bringing the chastening and the supplying the deliverance. The demon was a dumb animal to be used for God's purpose.
Amen. Thank you, Father. The demon was as a dumb animal to be used for God's purpose. He don't even realize it. Okay. Anybody else want to read?
Go ahead, Barry. Okay.
All right. Let Barry, then you can go, Gaynor, if we have time.
Okay.
Go ahead, Barry.
Okay. Had a little confusion there.
No, I'm sorry.
No worries. Okay. 2 Thessalonians 1:4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and in the afflictions which ye endure. When Paul was going through persecutions and afflictions, who was it that was bringing them? It was an angel of Satan. In each case, Paul was chastened and sanctified, and his faith delivered him. God never does anything just for one purpose. 2 Thessalonians 1:5. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, to the end that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Sometimes God's method is to use an angel of Satan to bring us into persecution and affliction, which Paul said was a token of the judgment of God to get us ready for his kingdom. Most often the demons are administering the curse to do that. All things, curses and blessings, are working together for our good. We have a covenant right to deliverance from the curse. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Psalm 78:43. How he set his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, and turned their rivers into blood and their streams so that they could not drink. He sent among them swarms of flies which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them. He gave also their increase unto the caterpillar, and their labor unto the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave over their cattle also to the hail, and their flocks to hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, and indignation, and trouble, a band of angels of evil. He made a path for his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence, and smote all the firstborn of Egypt. Here we have God sending judgments, which he called a band of angels of evil, to chasten his people and destroy their enemies. When God sent all these judgments through angels of evil, they came against both the Egyptians and the Israelites in the beginning, until his people were willing to come out of Egypt. Then God made a separation between Goshen and Egypt. The judgments that then fell only on the Egyptians so that God's people would be set free. When we repent of living in Egypt, we do not have to live under the judgments. Exodus 12:23, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Notice that the Lord passed over the Israelites' door with the destroyer and smote the Egyptians. The king, angel of the abyss in Revelation 9:11, was Apollyon in Greek or Abaddon in Hebrew, and both of these names mean destroyer. These are probably just two of the many names for the devil. He was the king demon over death, but God had authority over him. The destroyer came through at midnight exactly when God said he would. God's purpose was for him to destroy God's enemies and anyone who did not partake of the lamb. God told them to eat the lamb, and the destroyer would not smite them. That is how we come out from under the curse of sin and death. We must eat the lamb, Jesus Christ, the word. Physically, we are what we eat. Spiritually, we are what we spiritually eat. By consuming and digesting the word of God, we are delivered from the curse and manifest our sonship. Sennacherib, king of the Assyrian Empire, had sent his vast army against Judah, but God promised them victory through Isaiah. Isaiah 37:7. Behold, I will put a spirit in him, and he shall hear tidings and shall return to unto his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. God put a demon spirit in Sennacherib, who, hearing voices, was then afraid of being away from home. Many demon-possessed people hear voices. The demons want to destroy God's people. Sometimes they have no choice in what they do. God used this demon to take the king home, where he fell by the sword of two of his sons, Isaiah 37:38. Mary and I were praying for a friend to come to the Lord. I was dumbfounded at the way the Lord did this. The friend received a spirit of fear and for some time was very fearful that he was going to lose his soul and go to hell. This is a man that had no interest in Jesus. His thoughts and fears were unreasonable to him, so in seeking answers, he went to a priest because that was his background. The priest gave him no satisfaction. Ultimately, he came to us, and we showed him from the Word the way of salvation, and he was saved. Your objection may be that God has not given us a spirit of fear. That verse was written to believers who know and serve God. But in this case, my friend did not know the Lord. God gave him a spirit of fear to cause him to fear eternal damnation. So he went looking for salvation and found it. Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Some ministers.
You know, just a minute. We had the same thing happen years ago when we were over Sweetwater. We had a young man that we had been praying for, and the Lord told us in prayer one morning, he told us there's going to be three miracles today. And the first one was that young man coming down the stairs crying that he had had a dream that he had, you know, that God put fear on him in such a way that he came to Christ that day because of it. God is so good, you know? Okay, Barry, I just wanted to relate that little story. We have been praying for that young man.
Some ministers who have not lived righteous lives and yet retain authority over God's people have been demon-possessed. King Saul was just such a man. God called him and anointed him, but he rebelled. 1 Samuel 16:14. Now the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. I'm sure that if most did not know this was in the word, they would accuse me of heresy. We see here an evil spirit from the Lord troubling Saul because he would not obey. Verse 15, and Saul's servants said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants that are before thee to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit of God is upon thee that he shall play with his hand and thou shalt be well. Of course, they found David with his harp to comfort the king. Isn't that something? God sent an evil spirit to trouble Saul and then sent David with his harp to give him some relief from the torment. He works on us from both sides. I ministered in an assembly once where I discerned that the pastor had demons. He was having problems with women, money, and honesty. He told me three times that God had spoken to him that he was Saul and I was David. I shared with him truths that would help him to overcome, but he was self-willed. I asked the Lord what to do about him because he was causing believers to stumble. God said, let the Philistines take him out. The Philistines were the enemies of God's people to Saul out. The enemies of God's people did take this man out too. I ended up taking over the ministering there for a short time. It was Saul and David all over again. God worked on this man from both sides. In Deuteronomy 28, God says over and over that he would send the curse to the rebellious. And now we know that he sent Jesus to deliver from that curse. God refused to give Balaam permission to curse the children of Israel in Numbers 22. After being offered a bribe, Balaam went back to God, hoping his mind would be changed. Seeing the proud covetous heart of Balaam, God gave him permission. When Balaam went, the angel of the Lord was standing in the way with a sword drawn to kill him. Balaam did not see the angel of the Lord, but his ass did and tried to warn him, 2 Peter 2:16. But he was rebuked for his own transgression. A dumb ass spake with man's voice and stayed the madness of the prophet. God, through the angel, was waiting to kill Balaam if he continued, and God, through the donkey, was reasoning with him to stop him. God is doing that with all of us. We are constantly faced with a choice. God has put us here for our soul to make a decision between our flesh and our spirit. We are the highest creation of God and the lowest creation of God. We are between heaven and hell, between demons and angels, between God and the devil. Every way we turn, there is a decision to be made. God planned it that way. He is saying to rebellious people, the curse is in front of you. Do not go. But if you do go, it is your own fault and you will pay a penalty. At the same time, he offers grace to make the right decision. God raised up Gideon to conquer Israel's enemy. After this, Gideon would not accept a position of authority over Israel. In fact, he would not let his sons take a position of authority over Israel while he was alive. Judges 8:23. Gideon had 71 sons, one of these by a concubine in Shechem. This son lusted after authority and wanted to be the next king over Israel. So he conspired with the men of Shechem to kill Gideon's 70 sons. All but Jotham were murdered. Jotham prophesied the following to the men of Shechem after they had executed the dastardly deed. Judges 9:20, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and the house of Milo, and let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from the house of Milo and devour Abimelech. God was pronouncing through Jotham a curse of division upon the guilty parties. Judges 9:22. And Abimelech was prince over Israel 3 years. And God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech, that the violence done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come, and that their blood might be laid upon Abimelech, their brother, who slew them, and upon the men of Shechem, who strengthened his hand to slay his brethren. God wanted to judge and destroy this evil alliance, so he sent an evil spirit between them to divide and conquer. Both Abimelech and the men of Shechem were destroyed because of this one evil spirit. God used evil to judge the guilty and to deliver his people from their hand. Once I was ministering in an assembly along with two other ministers. These two ministers were grieving me because they were continually patting each other on the back, even while they were agreeing to disagree with God's word. When I went home one evening after witnessing them confirm one another's errors in front of the congregation, I felt that the Lord put in my heart to pray that he would send an evil spirit between these two ministers to break up this evil alliance. I was shocked. The next day I found out that on that very evening of my prayer, those two had fallen out with one another to the degree that they had separated. God used that to separate this evil alliance between these two people. God used.
Go ahead. Keep going. I'm sorry.
Okay. God uses this method all through the scriptures. Let me share another example. Revelation 16:14. For they are spirits of demons working signs which go forth unto the kings of the whole world to gather them together unto the war of the great day of God the Almighty. Here demons gather the whole world to fight the battle of Armageddon. The same account in Zechariah says that God gathered the whole world to that battle. Zechariah 14:2. And I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. So now we see that God will use the demons together to gather the enemy army against his people just so that he can destroy them and save his people. Friend, can you see that if God is for is, wait a minute. Friend, can you see that if God is for us, who is against us? Romans 8:31. On the other hand, if God is against us, who then can be for us?
Amen. Let's stop there. Okay, we'll start here again next time after gathering the nations. Well, okay. Anybody got any questions or any comments? You know, you talked to someone from one of the mainline denominations about the sovereignty of God, and they really will argue with you a lot of times on things, you know. Well, God created evil. He created goodness and evil both. And they'll argue with that fact. Oh, he's all good. That's all he is. Well, he is all good, but he created it for a reason, and that's to mature us. Amen. Anybody got any other thing they'd like to pray or talk about? We got a couple of minutes left. Ah, 4 minutes. Quiet bunch. Yeah, Julie.
Just perspective wise, you know, we just need to praise God for all the corrections, the chastenings, the you know, the warfare, the trials, everything, because it has a purpose. And if it's not, you know, because we've done something wrong or anything like that, at least Lord's dealing with me. And, you know, he's dealing with the sin nature and how we think, how we reason, and just something that, you know, he wants to correct, and how, for me, how I'm, you know, thinking about things, or overcome the mind of the flesh. You know, a lot of these things are overcoming the mind of the flesh, and which is the sin nature and all those things and stuff we inherit, and the environment we've been in and our past and all kinds of stuff. So that's part of it. You know, thank you, Lord, for all the corrections and all the chastenings that you using all this to bring us into your image. And we have to keep that perspective, what it's all about, and not think that, you know, not let the enemy put any kind of guilt or condemnation or shame or, you know, all of his tricks, because then he'll come back around and start making you think about what you just went through, and you really weren't that bad. You know, you know how he does, right? You know how those thoughts will come in, and then he'll condemn you for those thoughts. We just really have to be guarding our thoughts and stuff too. So thank you, Lord, for teaching us how to overcome. You're making us those overcomers. You're making us to be the overcomers when we go through these trials, because, you know, it's the curse does have a purpose. The trial has a purpose, and we're not supposed to stay there. You know, he wants to bring us up, not, you know. Anyhow, thank you, God. We praise you, Lord.
Yeah.
We praise you, Lord. It's all for you. It's all this coming into your image, and our flesh hates it, you know, and it's just, you're maturing us. You're maturing us, and we count it all joy. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, we do. We thank you, Father, for all these trials that you put us in. Like Judy said, we don't like it for the moment, but if we just reflect on it and understand why it's there, then it's praise you, Lord, for doing it, because you're refining us. You're sanctifying us into the image of Jesus. And that's going to help us in the long run. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Yeah. Amen. And endurance in the trial and patience in faith, Judy said. That's right. Glory to God. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, sometimes when we bring things up in the fellowship here, we see what other people are going through. It's not like it's comforting, but it's the same stuff. Other people are going through it at the same time. You tend to know that if he's going through this, I'm going through the same thing, or I already came through that, and he's going through that. So it's good to have the fellowship of these kind of things. You know, other fellowships, the pastor and the churches usually used to just come in and they're just doing another Sunday service, where they should be just sitting back and seeing what all their services were actually doing too, you know, and they're gaining some insight as to what's going on in another person's life, rather than just do another Sunday service. And those other fellowships that I used to attend, you know, the pastor was just taking over again, you know, and giving another service on whatever, and instead of trying to listen to what the people are coming against, or what's going on in their lives, or they might have a blessing to speak, or something they just overcame. And, you know, it gets you to think about your own walk, your own journey. And it's just wonderful. So you learn even just from fellowship. And I believe that people who are in leadership should listen to some of these fellowships, just to know that the work that they labor for us, and how they labored in their lives to get some of this stuff across to us, they would see the benefit of it. But I'm sure they do that. I'm sure Michael even knows that from the teachings of these Wednesday nights, he can see that it's actually working out for us. And I'm sure this happened to David too in his own the fellowships that he has. You know, you can see a bit of it on the Friday night kind of fellowship, because they speak there too, and you can see them having some fellowship and praise reports off in there too. So glory to God for it all. Praise God.
Amen. Yes. Well, Father, we just thank you so much for this outreach fellowship that we have, that we can all come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and learn from each other. And it's not about any one person. It's about you, Lord. And we thank you for it. We thank you for being our leader, our shepherd. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that everybody here is going to continue praising you and thanking you, Lord, for the things in their life, and thanking you for bringing down the enemy around them and against UBM. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that we thank you for great provisions for everyone that needs it to get the gospel out. We thank you, Lord, that it is on the checks in the mail. Lord of God, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, all right. Y'all be blessed, you hear?